Before we get into the lesson this evening, I want to remind everybody to pick up your questions for Wednesday evening. I saw there were still a number of them on the table in the back. Be sure to pick this up and the one for next Sunday so we are prepared to discuss when we come to class. The singing tonight was beautiful. It's always beautiful here, and I want us to talk about some singing tonight, and specifically about a song that is mentioned. But please open your Bibles to Psalm 96, and I want to read that before we get into the lesson. And the song that I want to talk about is a new song, and that is mentioned in Psalm 33, Psalm 40, Psalm 96, 81, 144, 149, Isaiah 42. And then the ones that we are going to look at are going to be in Revelation 5 and Revelation 14. But I want to start back in Psalm 96. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all the peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared among all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give to the Lord, O families of the people. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the peoples righteously. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in all its fullness. Let the field be joyful and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the woods will rejoice before the Lord. For he is coming, for he is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. A new song back in Psalm 96. When we get to the book of Revelation to recap the lessons we've looked at, we've looked at some key verses, the Lamb of God and his blood, God is in control, worship him, the dragon and his war, a tale of two great cities, the patience and faith of the saints, the other seven beatitudes, portraits of Christ, those forbidden to enter the city. We looked at Satan in the book of Revelation, and this evening I want us to look at they sang a new song. So let's turn now to Revelation chapter 5, and we'll look at the two passages in Revelation that discuss a new song, and then we will get in to looking at them a little bit further. In Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation." And then when we turn over to Revelation 14, beginning at verse 3, they sang, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. These are the ones who are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed among men, from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. So we see this phrase, new song. What does new mean? There are two words in the Greek, two words used to talk about this concept. One of them is new in respect to kind, character, or type. Another Greek word is new in respect to time. And that is not the word that is used here referring to a new song in Revelation. It's not a new song in respect to time. It's like years ago when they used to print a phone book, every year you would get a new one. It really wasn't that new. It was just a newer edition of the same listing. You think about a telephone. Years ago, when I grew up, we had one phone in the house. It was mounted on the wall. You'd stick your finger in the little rotary dial and you would use that to call. Now there's a new type of phone. This type of phone is not just new in time, but it's different in type. And these keep changing. The first one that came out was 1G on a cellular phone where you could talk. And then it came out with you could talk and text, and then talk, text, and the internet. And that's completely different than that old phone that would be on the wall in our living room. It's new in respect to kind, character, or type. Stop and think about this. God's people have been singing for thousands and thousands of years, but now for the first time they are singing a new song. A new song in respect to kind, character, and type. And you stop and think about singing. What are we going to be doing when we get to heaven? We are going to be singing continually, eternally, for time without end. Praising God for our redemption, for our salvation. Praising God for the victory over Satan. I think a lot of people don't understand that. A lot of people in the world don't understand it. Maybe some people in the church don't understand it. I'll hear people say, you know, I can't wait to get to heaven. I just love to golf. I know there's going to be the nicest golf course in heaven. I just love to fish. I can't wait to get there. I'm going to go fishing all the time. Somebody might say, you know, I've worked so hard here. I've worked so hard working for the Lord. I can't wait to get up there. And I'm just going to sit in my rocking chair on my front porch and rock and relax. Friends, that's not the way the Bible describes heaven. We are going to be around the throne praising God for our redemption. And the theme of redemption is ever new, ever suggesting fresh thoughts of praise embodied in a new song. Why? What's different? When we get to heaven, that song is going to be a song of victory. Victory. The song of victory after the conflict with the dragon, the beast, the false prophet. This song was never sung before. And in a sense, we are not going to be able to sing that new song until we leave this earth and when we are around the throne and our victory is fulfilled. We are still alive. And as long as we are alive, we are going to be tempted by Satan. We are going to be distracted. He's going to try to draw us away. So friend, we must win the battle over Satan, self, and sin. We must win the battle over temptations. We must win the battle over this world. We must be faithful to the point of death. And then we can go to heaven and sing the victor song. And you just stop and think. I started this sermon saying the singing was so beautiful here this evening. And it was. You just think what it's going to be like. When we can sing the victor song in heaven. And that should be the desire of every one of us. That should be the desire of my heart, that I long to be with God. I want every day to be filled with God. I want to be aware of His presence, so aware that I step where He steps, where He takes a step, I follow Him. where he backs away from something, I back away. We want to make God our focal point. So why did they sing a new song? Well, they overcame. And then we also see that they had a new name. They sang a new song because they had a new name. In Revelation 3:12, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Again, remember we talked about the pillar and support of truth this morning and talking about the Lord's church. I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. Friends, we have a new name. If we've been baptized in the waters, we have a new name. We are a Christian. We belong to Christ. Why did they sing a new song? There is a new Jerusalem. Again, in Revelation, then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Revelation 21:2. Again, a new Jerusalem. It's a new kind, a new character, a type, a victorious Jerusalem. Why did they sing a new song? There is a new heaven and a new earth. Revelation 21:1, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Again, you talk to people today and they'll talk about a new heaven. The premillennialists see it as God coming down and setting up his throne here on the earth. That's not what this is talking about. Again, this is going to be a new kind, a new character, a new type, victorious. Why did they sing a new song? All things were new. Revelation 21:5. Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." So they sang a new song. They sang a new song because they were victorious. Because of Christ, they were victorious. They were victorious. They had a new name, a new Jerusalem, a new heaven and earth, and all things are new. Let's turn back to Revelation 5 and 9. You just stop and think about this. All things are new. What makes all things new? Salvation changes everything. Victory changes everything. And when we have salvation and victory, that gives us something new to sing about. Not just a new song, but totally different. Totally different. But back to 5:9 to look at that again. They sang a new song saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation." So you were slain. And we looked this morning at Acts 20:28, talking about the blood that was shed. "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." Christ shed his blood so that we could be part of his church. He shed his blood to purchase the church. And then what do we think? Why should I have to shed my blood? Why should I have to die? Friends, we have it so backwards. You think about Christ, the Son of God, shedding his blood, it coming in the flesh. If he was willing to die for us, we should be willing to die for him. If we aren't willing to die for him, we aren't worthy to sing this new song. And we won't sing this new song. 1 Corinthians 6:20, for you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. He shed his blood for us. We can sing that song of victory, a new song. And we need to glorify God in our body and in our spirit. And Paul tells us in Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. You hear people wanting to adopt a baby, and they finally can adopt a baby, and they are so happy, so joyful. And with us, we are the ones that are being adopted, and we should be so, so thankful. We're no longer a slave. We used to be a slave to Satan, but now, because God has adopted us, we can call him Father. We can call him Father. And not just call him Father, but we can be an heir of God through Christ. You know, I've mentioned this before. When my father died, he didn't have much, and I got a handful of things, and I was satisfied with that. That was my inheritance, just a handful of things. I can't even stop to imagine what the inheritance of God, our Father in heaven, is going to be like. But we have to be faithful. We have to be worthy of it. And when we get there and see our inheritance, we're going to be singing a new song. You know, we cannot grasp with our mind what heaven is going to be like, even with the figurative language that it's written to help us describe. Those are just words. It's going to be something, again, it will thrill our soul when we get there. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, Peter tells us, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of the Lamb without blemish and spot. And this language would have been very familiar to them when they would go to the marketplace to buy a slave, to redeem them, to buy them. What would they buy those slaves with? Corruptible things like silver or gold. We weren't bought with silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and spot. The price that we were bought with was his blood, his blood. And remember, the things that that we do, we've been purchased with the blood of Christ. He has bought us. And we are set apart for his service. Romans 6:22, but now having been set free from sin, having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life. The last 2 weeks, last week and the week before that, what did I talk about? Divine expectations. The first one was from Philippians, and we looked at four expectations God has from us, and then we looked at Romans 12 and a dozen or more expectations that God has of us. And why does he have expectations of us? Because he bought us. He owns us. We belong to him. He is the master. We are the servant. Jesus is our owner, and he paid a great price to redeem us. He sacrificed himself to make you his own. And he has the right to set our steps, to determine our purpose, and tell us what to do and what not to do. And A lot of that, what we're talking about is obeying God and obedience. And when we talk about transforming our mind and we renew it by the Word of God, but the other way that we renew it and transform our life is by obeying the Word. That's where the true transformation comes in. When I obey Christ, I change from being Bruce-like to Christ-like. When I obey Christ, I am going to stop fulfilling my selfish desires and follow what Christ said. That's transformation. That's something He expects of us because He owns us. You think about in the job world, somebody will work, and I've had this experience. I would hire somebody and give them a job and tell them what to do, and they wouldn't do it the way I told them to do. And well, where I came from, we did it this way. And I'd be like, that's fine. If you want to do it that way, go back to where you came from. But if you're going to be with this company, we do it this way. And we understand that. And when we become Christians, we can't say, well, God, I like to do it this way because this is the way I'm used to doing it. He'll say, well, you can go back to doing it that way, but the reward you're going to get is going to be death instead of eternal life. But notice who this is talking to in verse 9. They sing a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, for you are slain. You have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Who did he leave out of that list? Nobody. Nobody. Of every tribe, tongue, people, nation. There's no national distinctions. And you stop and think about that. We should be very thankful for this, because all of us are Gentiles, and if Christ did not come and died and established a new covenant, we would be without hope. We would be without hope. Galatians 3:26 says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Therefore, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. We're all made one. Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, we are all made one. Look at verse 10. You've made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. This is an innumerable host, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Then the four living creatures said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. So again, we see every creature which is under heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, they praise God because he's worthy. And notice too, through this, singing and praying go together. When we get to heaven, we're going to be singing and praising God. When we pray, when we speak, there are words that engage the mind. And when we studied the book of Psalms, we saw that music engages the heart and the soul. Music touches us differently than just words. And we're going to use both of those to praise God. To praise God. Now let's go to Revelation 14:3 and look a little more at the other passage. 14:3, they sing as it were a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders, and no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. These are the ones who are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These are redeemed among men, being the first fruits to God and to the Lamb. Notice they were redeemed from the earth. They were purchased by the blood of the Lamb. They were not removed from the earth, but they were redeemed from the earth. When we become baptized, God isn't going to transport us out of this life. We're going to be redeemed, but we're not going to be removed. And since we've been redeemed and we're holy, we have to separate ourselves from a life of sin and evil. In verse 14, when it's talking about, verse 4, not defiled with women or virgins. This is symbolically morally pure. Means they've kept themselves pure by not having relations with the world. They've kept their vows as the bride of Christ. If it were interpreted literally instead of figuratively, it would imply that the marriage relationship was sinful, and that would violate other passages in the New Testament. But when they were not defiled with women, they weren't defiled by the world. And notice in verse 4, who follow the Lamb wherever. Again, faith and obedience. One of the greatest invitations that we will ever receive is from Christ when he says those two words, follow me. Follow me. Following Jesus is the essence of what being a Christian is. And we have to train our eyes when we follow Jesus to keep our eyes on him, to stay focused on Jesus. We have an example of somebody that didn't keep his eyes on Jesus. And what did he do? He sank. When Peter got out of the boat and wanted to walk to the Lord, he took his eyes off of Christ, he sank. The lesson for us, when Jesus tells us to follow him, we better follow him, and we better keep our eyes on Christ, because if Satan distracts us and we take our eyes off of Christ, we are going to sink. And when we follow Jesus, sometimes we have to sacrifice things in life that are good for what is the best. This, whatever this is, may be good and we like it a lot, but we might need to sacrifice it for what is best to help us to follow God. God doesn't have room for everything that we have in our life. He wants us to empty our life. And when we empty our life, then we depend on him. We depend on him. So following Jesus is a position of our heart, of our mind. And following requires depending on the one that is leading. If he says, follow me, and we keep our eyes on him, we've got to go where he goes. Following Jesus means more than walking where Jesus walked. God wants us to walk as Jesus walked. And there's a difference. And when we come in into conflict with conflict and challenges with people, just because you go to the same place doesn't mean you handle the situation the same way. Following Jesus flows from a deep desire to please Jesus. Verse 5, no guile, no deceit. those in the world find lying to come easy. And as Christians then and today, as Christians that were being persecuted then, and as us today, we should stand out and be different and not just blend in with the world and say whatever we need to blend in. These new songs, what is different about these new songs? Well, it's the victory of Christ and the resurrection. And when we stop and think about it, the resurrection of Jesus is the ultimate revelation of God's power. Power over everything. In raising Jesus from the dead, death is conquered, fear is vanquished, sin is defeated, and Satan is overcome, and we have hope. We sing the song sometimes, "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow." He died, but he didn't stay in the grave. He arose. He lives. Jesus is our risen Savior. And when we recognize that power of God, that he could, it's hard to even comprehend, but there's so much evidence, we know it's true. God sent his Son to come down here in the flesh. He was crucified on a cross. History doesn't dispute that. He was raised from the dead. And again, when we read in Matthew, when he was on the cross and the graves were opened, and then when he was resurrected and those from the graves came into Jerusalem, how are you going to argue that Christ is not the Son of God and God has no power? And when we recognize the nature of God, it should move our hearts to humility and worship. And we should bow down and we should lift up our hearts in praise to God. Friends, we're going to be singing that new song for time without end. The battle is over. Every battle has a victor and one that stands defeated. In the battle between good and evil, light and dark, the contest is over. Jesus wins. Satan is utterly defeated. And again, the question for you and for me is, whose side do I want to be on? Our victory is certain. It's already determined if we choose Jesus, if we keep our eyes focused on him, if we follow him, and we can win because of Jesus. We can sing that new song. If we choose darkness, we already stand defeated because we know Satan is already defeated. The world is already lost. We're just going through, we know the outcome of the battle, it's already been determined. We're just seeing it play out right now. So I want to be obedient to Christ. I want to make Christ the center of my life. I want to let Christ transform my life. I want to let Christ transform my life by being obedient to his word. I want to be faithful no matter what. I want to sing that new song in heaven when this life is over. But we have to live this life. How about you? What do you want to do? Jesus, he's still extending his invitation, saying, "Follow me." And it's your decision now whether you want to or not. We pray that someone would want to this evening. We invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.